We are looking in the book of Proverbs on Sunday morning. We are in search of wisdom. Wisdom from God on how to live life. We want to live large. We want to live big, successful, significant lives, don't we? And in order to do that, we need wisdom from the Lord on how to live this life appropriately. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 21 this morning. So turn to Proverbs 21. Eventually getting to chapter 16, verse 18, but we'll start at 21. Would you bow your heads for a word of prayer? Lord, we definitely need your wisdom. We need our eyes to be open to truth, to that which is priority in life. Lord, how easy it is to be deceived. How in many ways we can even deceive ourselves on various issues. So we want to look to you for wisdom. Enlighten us. We ask that you would bless this time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I found that it's much easier to go through the book of Proverbs thematically than verse by verse because there's so many themes and topics in the book of Proverbs. So we're sort of going through it topically. And over the next several Sundays, we're going to be looking at some very important character qualities that are mentioned in the book of Proverbs. Character qualities that you want. Character qualities that you should have as a part of your life that lead to wisdom, that lead to good things. And then there's some character qualities that you want to stay away from. Pride is the example of a character quality that you don't want. You need to identify pride in your life and eliminate it. Because pride leads to bad things. Humility. Humility is what we should seek for in our lives. Look at verse 4 of Proverbs chapter 21. Solomon writes, a haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. Some translations or some versions of the Bible say, haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked are sin. This is describing describing a wicked person whose lamp, whose heart in life is driven by pride. The heart of a wicked person, the lamp of a wicked person is proud. The look of a wicked person is haughtiness. A wicked person is driven around by pride. That's what Solomon is saying. Pride is the subject. The main Hebrew word used in the Old Testament, translated pride, is the Hebrew word gaon, gaon. And it's actually a very neutral word. It refers to majesty, to exaltation, to excellency. That's basically what it refers to. And so it can be used in a good sense in the Scripture. It can be used to speak of kings, legitimate kings, like the kings that sat on the throne of Israel. They were gaon. They were majestic. And you would give them respect. You would call them your excellency. You know, your majesty. The word also is used to speak of God in many places. God is gaon. He's majestic. He is royal. He is high and lifted up. He's exalted and honored. But then there's a negative way that this word is used in the scripture. When a person uses that word to speak of themselves. When a person says, I'm Gaon. When a person thinks that he or she is majestic, exalted, superior over other people. It's the person who thinks he's the king of the hill and he's not. The word pride in the New Testament, which is based on the Greek language, is translated by the Greek word huperephanos, which comes from two Greek words, which simply means to appear above. The prideful person is the one who tries to appear above. Again, it's a person who thinks they're superior to other people. They look down on other people. They're the king. I found a number of definitions of pride this week. Share a few. Pride is a conceited sense of one's superiority. It's an exalted view of self. It is the undue warranting of high status. The Strong's Dictionary of the Bible defines pride as the character of one who, with a swollen estimate of his own powers or merits, looks down on others and even treats them with insolence and contempt. I think we all know what pride is, don't we? We've all seen prideful, arrogant people at work. Aren't they a blast to hang out with? We know what pride is. We know men and women who are arrogant, and we see how they act and how they talk. Well, according to verse 4, pride is sin. When God sees pride in the heart of a man or woman, he sees a sinner. When God sees pride in our hearts, he sees sin. It says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Pride sickens God. God detests pride. It's ugly. And you know what? It is ugly, isn't it? When you see an arrogant person. I'll never forget a few years ago, I was in an airport. Forget which city. And waiting to get on a plane. And there was this young, cool college cat who was in the lobby. And he was waiting for a plane as well. And he was one of these really good-looking guys, you know. Muscular, long hair. And it became obvious that this young guy was absolutely full of himself. It was sickening. He would get up and he'd strut around. He'd wave that hair back. I remember when I had that hair, that used to be fun, but he would do that real. And, you know, he just had this look about him. It was sick. And everyone in the lobby noticed it. I'd see people looking at him and whispering. They'd gag. One good old boy sitting next to me, not kidding, never met him before, leaned over and said, that pretty face needs a little punch in the mouth. Just ugly. You know, it's been said that pride is the only disease that makes everyone else sick but the one who has it. He was totally clueless. That stuff is ugly. God calls pride an abomination. And this world is so full of pride, isn't it? This world is filled with prideful, arrogant human beings. In fact, the Apostle John said that pride is one of the major components of the world in which we live. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, John said, do not love the world or things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not of the Father. It's of the world. And pride manifests itself in so many ways. It manifests itself in materialism, right? There's a lot of rich people out there that have a lot of stuff, and they're so proud of their stuff, and they show it off, and they look down at others that don't have as much as they do. It shows up in careers. Some are very prideful over their career. Maybe they're white collar, and they look down on blue collar. And of course, the blue collars look down on the white collars because the blue collars think that they really do all the hard work. Pride all over the place. Pride manifests itself in intellectualism, educational elitism, snobbish PhDs that think they're smarter than everybody else and look down on people. In those circles, they talk about what school did you go to, what papers did you get published. In my profession as an engineer, I ran into many of those kinds of guys. Gag. By the way, I also ran into some very brilliant people who were humble, and oh, did they shine. Pride will manifest itself in extreme selfishness, self-obsession, self-absorption. People that think the whole world centers around them. People that want to be the center of all the attention and the center of all the conversation. Pride even manifests itself in religion. Did you know that? In piety. There are some people that think they're really pious and religious and they're holier than thous and they look down on other people. Maybe a person graduates from a seminary or is a priest or is some reverend or some pastor somewhere and they look down on other people. The Pharisees, remember them in the days of Jesus? They were like that. They were self-righteous. They were prideful and arrogant. Jesus told a story in Luke chapter 18. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, saying, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Can you imagine a person like that praying like that? Pride's all over the place. C.H. Spurgeon said, be not proud of race, face, place, or grace. I like that. That covers everything, doesn't it? But see, here's the deal. We can identify pride so easily in other people, but I think most all of us struggle with pride. All of us need to deal with pride. I think it's human nature to see ourselves in a more elevated status than we should. I think we all look on ourselves more favorably than we should. Pride is one of those things that you have to keep fighting against. Benjamin Franklin wrote in his autobiography, there is perhaps no one of our natural passions so hard to subdue as pride. He says, beat it down, stifle it, mortify it as much as one pleases. It is still alive. Even if I could conceive that I had completely overcome it, I should probably be proud of my humility. And you know what, folks? Pride is deceptive. Pride is so that we can be very prideful about something and not notice. It is so important, my brothers and sisters in Christ, to live life successfully and to get happiness out of life. Man, in order to do that, you have to identify pride in your life and eliminate it. Because there are severe consequences to pride, according to the book of Proverbs. I'm going to take you to a few places. where you see where pride leads. And let my intentions be clear. My goal this morning is to scare the pride out of us. Because pride will lead to some awful experiences. Look over at Proverbs chapter 11. Verse 2. It says, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. Pride leads to shame. Pride leads to dishonor. Pride leads to disgrace. Pride leads to humiliation. That's the idea. Pride leads to embarrassment. See, a person who's prideful about anything, what they do is they elevate themselves. They sort of show off themselves. They present themselves in this elevated fashion. And what they're doing is they're setting themselves up to fall because they can't live up to this. And oftentimes, the most prideful person will get humiliated in the most wonderful way. It's like poetic justice, you know? We were going through 2 Samuel on Wednesday nights, and David had a son by the name of Absalom. I don't know if you remember that story, but when he grew up, he tried to become Gaon of Israel. He tried to take over the kingdom from his dad. And it says specifically in Samuel that Absalom had long hair. He had this, he was another beefcake in Scripture. Just this strong Fabio-looking guy with the long hair. And he wanted to take over the king. And where did his life end? Well, he's riding along on a donkey or a horse or something. He's being chased. And his beautiful hair got caught up in a tree. And the donkey goes on, and here he is, hanging from the tree in his hair. And of course, the soldiers came from behind and said, oh look, Goldilocks got hung up. Shame. Embarrassment. Public humiliation. I have a pastor friend, and he told me of something that happened in one of his services one Sunday morning. They have a worship team and a big crowd that shows up. And one of the members of the band, the drummer, came one particular morning, and he had just bought some new alligator skin boots. And this guy was so proud of his boots. You could tell. The pastor said he would just kind of walk around and he was just excited about them boots. Showing them off. And there he was, drumming right in the middle of the service. And they even said he was kind of lifting his boots up more so people could see. Right in the middle of the song, he fell over backwards. Every eye in the service was drawn to those two alligator skin boots. Frailing up. It just leads to shame. I'm telling you, if you want to be humiliated, be prideful. It leads to shame. Jesus told the Pharisees in Luke chapter 14, when you're invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him, and he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man, and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. Embarrassing. Don't toot your own horn. Don't show yourself off. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 2 says, let another man praise you and not your own mouth. A stranger and not your own lips. So it leads to embarrassment. It leads to shame. There's other very serious consequences to this. Look it over at chapter 13, Proverbs. Look at verse 10. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 25 says, I'll just read it to you, he who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. Folks, pride leads to fights. It leads to contention with other people. It leads to bitter, bitter arguments between people. It leads to discord. C.S. Lewis said, it is pride which has been the chief cause of misery in every nation and every family since the world began. If you have pride in your heart, that can lead to a huge fight in your life with somebody else. And that kind of pride can make enemies out of friends. It can cause huge problems. You know, there is no doubt about it. In this life, we're going to have conflict with other people, right? There's going to be conflict. If you never get in a fight with anybody, you're not thinking. If you never get in an argument with somebody, if you never have conflict, but there's a biblical way to handle conflict, and that is to sit down with the other person and peacefully work through the issues and giving respect. But see, oftentimes in a fight, our pride will come up. And it'll change us into the person that just wants to win the fight, to win the argument. Our pride causes us to forget about the issue that we were even fighting over. And what we begin to do is just be the one who wants to win the argument to defend ourselves and make sure we make the other guy look really, really bad. And that can lead to the most bitter of separations. Horrible, horrible breakups. It sows problems everywhere. That can be a huge problem between a husband and a wife, that pride. Between parent and child. It can happen even at church. It can happen even among Calvary Chapel pastors. A couple years ago, I was in, again, an airport, waiting on a plane. And I have a very, very dear friend in the ministry. And he's a pastor of another Calvary Chapel. And we've been good friends for so long that we were sitting there waiting for this plane. And we started talking about a theological matter. And he got on one side of it, and I got on the other side of it. And before you knew it, we were heated. We were beating each other up. We had our theological swords out. And you know what? We stopped talking. We got on the plane and we sat at different parts. And I'll just be honest with you. There was a couple months where we didn't talk to each other. We finally made up. But I got to tell you, I look back on that time and my pride got the best of me. And it caused strife, and it almost caused me to lose a dear friendship. Are you in a fight like that with somebody? Is your pride getting in the way? And the real spirit of this verse is the idea that the man or woman who is consistently prideful will always be in fights. You ever met a person like that? They're always in a fight. Every day is another fight. If it's not the person at work, it's the spouse, or it's the neighbor, or it's somebody at church. Listen, if you're a person who is always in bitter fights with other people, I think you need to look at your pride issue. Prideful people are always right in their own mind. They don't listen to other people. They don't respect other people. prideful people have very bad relationships most of the time. And they move and travel around from friend to friend, person to person. Pride leads to strife. Pride will also lead to a moment of crisis in your life. Pride will lead to a fall. Look over at chapter 16. Verse 18, this is the verse that's most famous. This is the one we know. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Other Proverbs tell us the same thing. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 23. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Proverbs 18, verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. The idea is this. The prideful person will collapse. They will fall. It's like the natural law of gravity. What goes up must come down. The man or woman who goes up and up and up in pride will come down. And the Bible is replete with examples of pride coming before a fall. Did you know that pride was the sin of Satan? Pride is what turned Lucifer into Satan. You know, God created this spectacular angel named Lucifer, the shining one. Gave him charge of all the other angels and just made this beautiful angel, gave him all kinds of power and all that, but it tells us in Isaiah chapter 14 that somewhere along the way, Lucifer got prideful and he said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Lucifer said, I will be like the Most High. God said, nope, you shall be brought down to the pit. Lucifer got exalted. He got prideful. He was brought down. Did you know that pride was instrumental in the fall of the human race? When Satan tempted Adam and Eve in the garden, God had told them, you can eat of any tree. Just don't touch this one tree. And Satan came along and said, oh, did God really say that? And then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God. He appealed directly to their pride. And you know what? That really is what pride is. Go on, thinking you're higher than God. Well, what happened? The whole human race fell into sin, didn't it? Pride, sin, self-exaltation leads to a fall. Remember the story of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4? He was the king of Babylon, and God had told King Nebuchadnezzar, I've given you this kingdom, I gave it to you. And one evening, Nebuchadnezzar's walking around on the walls of the city, and he's looking around, and he said in his heart, is this not great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? That very hour, King Nebuchadnezzar was brought down. In fact, he was driven from men and ate grass like oxen.
His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. The guy became insane.
Prideful, look what I've done.
Crashing.
There's an example in the New Testament with Peter. Remember Peter? The last night, Jesus says, you're all going to deny me. And Peter says, not me. So all these other bozos disown you or desert you, I won't. And what happened? He fell. Pride comes before a fall. Pride leads to a fall. And here's why. God opposes the proud. That's why. God is against those that are proud. Those are the prideful. Look back at Proverbs chapter 15. Look what it says there in verse 25 of that chapter. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the boundary of the widow. Listen to what it says in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That's a very strong word. God resists the proud. God fights against the proud. It's like, if you're a prideful person, you are getting in the ring. And you know who's in the other corner? God. The man or woman of pride is like a walking advertisement. God, humble me. Level me. One scholar said, a tall tree attracts lightning. So God puts down those who are conceited. Stuck up people usually suffer some humiliating experience designed to deflate their ego, and it only takes a small pin to prick a big balloon. Pride leads to a fall because God opposes those who are proud. You see the consequences? Shame, strife, moment of crisis, the opposition of God in your life. We also saw in the book of Proverbs that pride leads to folly, to foolishness. Pride will dumb you down. Why? Because you already know everything, right? And so you don't listen to other people. And here's the most devastating consequence to pride. Folks, it's pride that keeps so many people from God. It is pride that keeps so many people from receiving the blessings of God. It is pride that causes many people to reject God's word. They don't need God. They're smarter than God. You know how they miss out. There's a wonderful story in the Old Testament in 2 Kings of a Gentile king by the name of Naaman. He was the general of a foreign army. And he was a very successful, wealthy man. And one day he came down with leprosy. And in the course of his wars against Israel, they had taken a young Israelite woman captive, and she served in their house as a servant. And this Israelite woman said to Naaman, hey, there's a prophet in Israel who can heal you of your leprosy. And so Naaman saddled up, got all of his royal baggage and caravan together, and they went all the way to the prophet Elisha's house, the true man of God. Well, he knocked on the door. Elisha the prophet didn't even come out. Elisha sent his messenger. Go wash yourself in the Jordan River 7 times. And Naaman said, this guy didn't even come out and say hi. Doesn't he know who I am? And he got enraged. He says, I have rivers back home that are much cleaner than the Jordan River. And so he got on his way and he was going to leave as a leper. But then one of his servants finally said, look, you came all this way. Why don't you do what the prophet did? And so he said, all right. And he gets out and he gets into that Jordan River 7 times. And it says he was completely healed of his leprosy. And that his skin was back to like when he was a teenager. But there's a guy who almost missed this wonderful blessing of God because of pride. I wonder how many people miss blessings from God because of pride. And you know what? Pride will also keep people from receiving the gospel message. It keeps people from getting saved because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short from the glory of God, and we all deserve punishment. God, in His grace and mercy, sent His Son, Jesus, who shed His blood and paid the price for sin and rose again the 3rd day. And if a person humbly bows before Jesus and receives Jesus into their life by faith, they get saved, they get forgiven, they become born again. But you know what? The very first step to getting saved is having to humble yourself. It's actually having to say, I'm a sinner. I've blown it. I've failed. There's a lot of people that won't do that. And they don't get saved. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are humble in heart, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those that are proud in heart don't get it. This whole process of becoming more and more humble continues throughout our whole life, even as Christians. And by the way, some of you might think, well, God's awfully mean to put somebody down. Is He? When God humbles a person, is it because He's a mean God? Oh, I want to squash him. No, when God humbles a person, when God brings a person down, it's so that He can get that person on their back where all they can do is look up. God breaks people to heal people ultimately, to get people to Him. You know, I'll bet you there's countless testimonies right here in this room of people who came to Christ through a conflict, through an issue. Maybe it was a broken marriage or a job or some illness or something, and it just broke you. And you can look back and remember that you were so full of pride. But how God was able to break you, and then you looked up and you gave your life to Him. And how He changed you. It's a wonderful verse in Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. Come and let us return to the Lord, for He has torn, but He will heal us. He is stricken, but He will bind us up. Now, my brother and sister in Christ, this process will continue. God is going to be identifying pride in your life, and He's going to take you down in various areas of your life so that you become more dependent upon Him. Because God wants us to be totally humble people. And in every area of our lives, He will work through that with us, and we should never, ever think that we've arrived. There was a young seminary graduate, brand new preacher, got his first opportunity to preach in a church, thought he was something. Walked up those stairs, very proudly and arrogant. He's going to give his first address. And right as he's about to speak, he just forgets everything he was going to say. And he just walked out of there. Just walked out. And there were two older ladies in the front row. And they said if he would have walked up the way he walked down, he would have walked down the way he walked up. God will work with pride. God will challenge our pride on every level. We talked a lot about consequences to pride. What about the rewards of humility? You know, if you're a humble person, you're going to get wiser because you respect other people. You'll listen to other people. You won't be a know-it-all. If you're a humble person, I promise you, your relationships will be solid. You will have good friendships. Your life won't be filled with strife. Oh yeah, you might have some arguments from time to time, but you'll even learn how to get through those with humility. You won't come to shame. Proverbs says, with humility comes honor. Proverbs 22, verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. And the humble are backed by God. Amen? Those who are filled with humility, God is showing great favor to that person. God lifts up those who are humble. God resists those who are proud, but He lifts up those who are humble. Oh, the most important characteristic we can shoot for in life is humility. So how do we become more humble? How do we become men and women of humility? Well, just a few thoughts as we close. Number one, pray a lot. Let me just say, pray a lot, because pride is deceptive. And I think very often we need to pray like David. Search my heart, O God, and know my ways, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Ask God regularly to identify pride in your life. And then as it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, humble yourself. Don't wait around for God to make you humble. Humble yourself. The idea is be proactive about it. When God shows you an area in your life where you're prideful, humble yourself in that area. Remind yourself. And remind yourself of all the consequences of pride and the rewards of humility. I love what James Dobson said. He said, whenever I'm tempted to become self-important and authoritative, I'm reminded of what the mother whale said to her baby. When you get to the top and start to blow, that's when you get harpooned. Awesome stuff. I mean, there is an element to this where you can humble yourself. Pray through it. When God identifies something to you, know that that's a... and make yourself be humble. Be proactive about it. But I think the best advice for all of us to becoming humble, becoming more men and women of humility, listen, get your eyes off yourself. That's the bottom line. That is the bottom line. As Christians, we need to get our eyes off ourselves.
The Bible says to put our eyes on others first, also. Consider others better than yourself. Look out to their interests. Get your eyes off yourself and put your eyes on others. And then, absolutely, keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Amen? Keep your eyes on God. Don't get your eyes off yourself and let your thoughts drift often to God. Focus on Jesus Christ and you'll become much more humble. In fact, Jesus is the best example of humility, isn't he? He's the best example of humility in all of Scripture. Jesus Christ, think of it, God here. God is a man. Now, if anybody deserved to expect the red carpet, wouldn't it be him? He could come and just order all kinds of people around, but that's not the testimony of the Gospels at all. In fact, Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." And who can forget that precious scene in the upper room? When Jesus, the Son of God, kneeled down and wash the dirty feet of all those disciples. None of them wanted to do it. They were all too good for it. I'm not going to wash anybody's feet. Jesus got down and washed those smelly, stinking, calloused feet, right? It says in Philippians chapter 2, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the very form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You compare that with Lucifer. Lucifer tried to go up, 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 up. God brought him down, down, down. Jesus went down, down, down. God raised him up, up, up. And Jesus is our role model. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Let's bow our heads, bring this service to a close. Think through some things with me as we close. Brother and sister in Christ, what has the Holy Spirit said to you this morning? You might be right smack dab in the middle of a big old gnarly fight right now. With a spouse, with a family member, with somebody at work, maybe with somebody right here in this church. Do you think maybe the Holy Spirit's telling you this morning to humble yourself? May God repair that fight. May God repair that relationship. Maybe you are the one here this morning and your life is just filled with fights, all kinds of strife. Oh, you need to humble yourself. Maybe here you sit here this morning
and you have crashed, you have fallen. Maybe you're so down this morning. Maybe some things have happened in your life and it's just knocked you down. Marital issue. I want you to know this morning, if that's you, that God loves you intensely. He loves you so much. And out of love, He knocks us down so that we'll look up. So that we'll give our lives to Him. And He'll take our lives. He'll change us. He'll repair the damage. But don't be one who's going to become bitter at God. I'm mad at God. Don't get that attitude. Run to your Lord this morning. Perhaps there might be some here this morning who need to humble themselves before Jesus and invite Him into the heart as Lord and Savior. I want you to have an opportunity to do that right now. If you're here this morning and you've never responded to the gospel net message, you've never given your life to Jesus, you have an opportunity to do that right now. Just raise your hand up high so I can see it. If there'd be anyone here this morning who needs to make that decision, perhaps you've been holding off on it. And Lord, we want to thank You so much for how great You are. And we want to be those that keep our eyes on You. You are Gaon. You are majestic. You are high and exalted. May we keep our eyes securely on You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.